Visit our website at BostonBastardBrigade.com for recent news, reviews, podcast episodes, and videos featuring members of the B3 crew.
Become friends with us on MySpace at MySpace.com/BostonBastardBrigade, as well as on Facebook. You can even find our Twitter accounts on our official homepage.
And don't forget to check out our friends at the Electric Sisterhood at ESH.MOBI for another side of news and review, including their own glorious podcast show.
From the Boston Convention and Exhibition Center, this is the Boston Bastard Brigade, live at PAX East 2012.
Hey, this is Tig from the Boston Bastards Brigade. I'm sitting here with Firefall from Red 5 Studios. Could you please say your name, your title, and a little bit about what you do for Firefall?
Absolutely, sure. My name is James McCauley. I'm the Vice President of Development and the Executive Producer on Firefall. I've been here for a very long time, being a part of seeing this whole company kind of grow and experience the development of the game and really kind of building our own engine and our own art style and our own game design and really trying to do something bigger and better than we've ever seen anywhere before in making a free-to-play online team-based shooter. And this is our dream game. This is the game we all want to go home and play. At the core, we wanted to make a kick-ass shooter, you know. And back when we started the game, we were like, you know, it's an online team-based shooter. We really think that social gaming is where it's at. Like, playing with your friends is always more fun than playing by yourself.
Yeah.
Always. So, but we added to it, you know, back in the early days of Red 5, 5 years ago or whatnot, we were like, you know, what's kind of the evolution of online gaming? What's our dream game? Where's the future, right? What does this involve? And we really did grab elements from other genres and other games and that we really have grown to love and appreciate. Things like a really rich kind of social functionality, having built-in chat, having built-in voice chat, having, a party system, which, you know, squads, being able to join up with other players and to be able to join into armies or clans that are built into the game. No need to manage this outside on your own webpage. You can actually form your army in-game. Things like a massive, persistent open world, which maybe you've noticed by now.
Yeah.
And that's certainly elements from MMOs like that, but actually taking it to kind of a new place where you have a major impact on the world. So things that players do or do not do will actually impact whether you have access to a city or whether you have access to an entirely new zone. We can talk about that once we jump into the game. We combine that with a highly competitive esports mode, right? We want this to be a very competitive game.
Yep.
You know, my dream is that players schedule practice nights with their clans and they practice, you know, just like they would a sport, you know, like soccer, right? And that they're able to log in and connect to join tournaments in-game with ease so that you and your army can compete against other armies,
yep.
You know, bragging rights as well as, you know, prizes and whatnot, but to participate on our leaderboards, our ladders, our tournaments, and our leagues.
Yep.
Sound like a plan? Sound good?
Oh, yeah.
That's awesome.
Oh, and by the way,
yeah.
We decided to give it away for free.
Yay!
So that was a big decision 2 years ago, 2.5 years ago.
I remember it was hovering around. You know, I didn't hear definite sales model. It just came out that, hey, we're going to do free-to-play. I was just curious a little bit, too, on the model about what you've decided for free,
absolutely.
Side grades and the like, if you would.
Absolutely. Well, so, you know, 2.5 years ago, or whenever it was, 2 years ago when we announced the game, the free-to-play model is really still relatively new in the Western market. It had been very successful in Asia, but it still was kind of becoming a new thing to Western gamers. And we made that decision, and we were like, you know, this is the direction we want to go. And it's actually been really, really cool. It's been very, very good for the game for several reasons. For one, it's allowed us to kind of think about how we market the game or grow the game very, very differently, right? We're not racing to some marketing-dictated deadline of, hey, March 15th, we're launching the game because we've already spent millions of dollars convincing Walmart and Best Buy to put us on an end cap at the store. And we're not spending millions of dollars trying to do TV ads and magazine ads to try to convince you that, hey, you want this game, And A, you got to get off your couch, go down to Walmart, Best Buy, and spend $60 on it, right?
Yeah.
Right? I mean, how many times have you had a game you wanted to share with a friend, and you're like, hey, buddy, come play this game, and they're like, is there a demo? Can I try it out first? Right? I mean, it's bad for gamers to have that model.
Yeah.
So we're like, forget that. We're going to do something new. We're going to change everything and try to really go with a new model that makes it easy for people to play with their friends, easy to jump into the game and have fun. And it is free to play. So the question is, how are we going to make money?
Yeah.
You know, we do need to make money. That's an important part of allowing us to continue to make content for the game.
Yep.
But we like to say we're free to play, not pay to win. That's something that we strongly stated early on. We want the game to be competitive. And as soon as you sell the BFG 10,000 or the I Win button or the nuke, guess what? It's not competitive, right?
Yep.
It's just the guy who has the most money wins.
It was like with the Coast Recon Online. They told us the exact same thing. It's not pay to win. It's
Side-grade weapons and updating custom skins. It's like what the League of Legends guys have done with LoL, giving skins and the like. It's if you want to support our company, feel free, give us some money and the like. So
and, you know, it's been really nice, you know, since we announced, well, League of Legends was already a success at that point, so that was one data point that we had that was like, okay, this is looking good. We're going to give you the content as fast as we have it ready to go. Right now in our beta, we're releasing builds every Tuesday. We're updating the game. We're adding content. We're adding new features. We're making bug fixes on a very, very fast turnaround time. And that's better for the gamer. It's better for us. We don't have to wait a long time to share with you what we're trying to build.
Yep.
So the model's been awesome. It's also taking the pressure off having a solid like release date, because we're not spending millions of dollars trying to get you to go down and spend $60 at Walmart, right?
Yeah.
What we're trying to do is spend that time and energy instead making a kick-ass game.
Yeah.
Because we believe very strongly that if the game is fun, players will come and play it, right? And
and
if we rely on really kind of the viral word of mouth, hey, check out this game, guess what? We're going to have a stronger community. And the stronger the community is, the more fun people will have when they sign in. You're not going to sign in and be feel threatened because you don't know the game and other people are cursing at you, right? You're going to feel... You've all experienced it, right?
Any Battle.net game, you tend to experience that the if you don't know this or the like, and you can tell it with the original Dota. If you don't know that game, you're not getting into it at this point.
It's kind of a turnoff for a lot of people, which is sad because I think... You know, ultimately, everyone benefits to having more people playing the game. Even a hardcore shooter benefits by having the more casual shooters there. Because guess what? You're building an audience for your esports maps. People are spectating your matches.
They have to know the game, at least how to spectate.
Yeah,
if they want any idea what's going on. It's like not knowing the rules of football and watching football.
So we're huge believers in the model, the free-to-play model. It's afforded us all sorts of really cool opportunities with how we're talking about the game, how we're rolling out the game. Our beta has been a very organic growth beta. We started with the dev team. Hey, go home and play on the servers. Cool. Now we gave the dev team all invites for their friends and family.
Yep.
Then we gave the friends and family invites for their friends and their friends. And so it grew very organically, and there was something very cool that happened. When you give someone one or two invites, guess what? You're going to really think about who you're giving that invite to. You're going to make sure that if I give it to you, you're going to actually appreciate Firefall and play. So right off the bat, the people playing in the beta are really avid Firefall fans, and they're really excited about the game. And so they're going to really work hard to make sure that new players have a good experience. They're going to work hard to make sure that we're getting feedback to make the game better. And it's a win-win. And so and of course, everyone who plays knows at least one person, the person who invited them.
Yep.
So we expanded beyond that. We went to our community and said, look, who are the most active community members on FirefallTheGame.com? Give them all beta invites, right? They're strong community members. They're going to make a better experience. I'll tell you this. Before PAX, we had community members posting on the forums saying, hey, we're going to have a big show. We got lots of new people coming online. Let's take shifts standing around in Copacabana, one of the cities that you're going to log into, and help people who need help. How awesome is that, man? I haven't seen that in too many other games.
So we're
very blessed to have the community that we have. And we're very, I feel like we're fortunate that we've been able to make the decision to go free to play, and it's allowed us to do a lot of really cool things. Okay. Let's get into the game, shall we?
That said, let's move on. I also want to say that with the aspect of you saying that instead of having to go to Walmart or wherever else you go get your games and stuff like that, you're saving gas for us.
Better for the planet. We're going green. Okay, so this has been a big week for us. We turned our servers on 24/7 on Monday. We lifted our non-disclosure agreement on Friday. Huge thing. Huge step for us. The team's been really excited. Thursday night, we released our new trailer. Have you seen it?
The one that's been playing on the screen?
Yeah.
Definitely.
It's gorgeous.
With the arc light? You want to watch it here in a private, closed room?
Sure.
All right, let's kick it.
Definitely.
We're really excited about this. It's our intro sequence to the game, so this is the first thing players will see when they log in.
Yep.
And it really kind of sets up the story nicely.
Principal. I'm ejecting the Star Chamber. It is critical that you recover it immediately.
Understood. Admiral, initial projections indicate a South Atlantic crash zone.
Control, divert the third fleet to the South Atlantic.
Yes, sir.
Bathsheba, can we re-trigger the arc drives?
No, there's some kind of external interference that's locking them up. I can try diverting power from weapons to the orbital thrusters. It'll give us a little control.
Do it. Maybe we can ditch in the Atlantic.
Sir, calculations are firming up. Looks to be four delays in Brazil. The loading authorities there. The casualties in the blast zone look to be close to 100%.
What? That can't be.
Orestes, enemy
is
still
there. Bathsheba, give me those thrusters, now!
We've got a 5-second burn left and maximum power. That should get us clear of four delays.
Negative, Arclight. If you ignite that burn, then it's got to be 95% chance to hit Rio.
Ready the burn. Give me manual control.
Rough day for mankind.
Yeah. All I can say is if they were to hit the friggin' ocean, they would have caused a massive tidal wave that would have fucking killed a lot of people anyway.
Yeah. It's a rough day for mankind. Not only did the crash itself devastate Brazil, but you saw at the end the globe and a storm appearing, right?
Yeah.
So the arc light was a test run of a faster than light transportation, right, engine.
Yep.
We were arc folding space, and the arc fold, it clearly failed.
Yep.
But through the arc fold came what is called the melding. And it's an aggressive energy storm that has engulfed and transformed nearly the entire planet.
Alright.
So we're about to log into the last known remnant of mankind called New Eden.
Now, when we saw that whole thing where the globe had that glow coming around it, would that be the radiation effect coming from the ship, or was that another... Or can you not talk about that?
That is the melding.
That is the melding. This aggressive energy storm that has blown over the entire planet. Virtually the entire planet. We'll actually see when we jump in the game. But it has actually cut off access to most of the planet.
When I was up in front scheduling for the meeting, they put me for the beta key. So would that work now?
Have you already created your Firefall account?
Oh, what's the password? Is it your home phone number again?
it's the best name generator in the world.
The design of the armor, or what would you call this?
We're a class-based shooter. Each of your classes are defined by the equipment that you're wearing, and you can actually switch this on the fly.
Okay.
We call them battle frames. They're like an exoskeleton battle suit, right? They're battle frames. And the design was really based around kind of the silhouette of each battle frame because of PvP. We wanted you to be able to very quickly and instantly recognize what battle frame was coming at you based on the shape. So we actually define very kind of iconic shapes for each of our battle frames.
Much like Team Fortress does. You see a heavy, you know what the heavy is versus if a medic's coming at you. It's the idea of instantly you recognize, right?
It's really important to know who you're going up against.
Yep.
So like you look at the medic has vials coming out of the back of his battle frame. And that the inspiration there was really kind of, the medic's more like injecting health, he's healing you, he's keeping you alive. And so we kind of went with like an sea urchin kind of style of a silhouette. And it's very subtle, but it's the design kind of language is, you see spikes coming out of his arms, you see the vials out of his back, so it's really kind of that injection of health for you, right?
Yep.
The recon is a slender, sleeker, faster moving sniper, and so the silhouette for him was really kind of a forward-facing, kind of very thin silhouette.
Stealth.
And so you see that a lot, you know, once you start to play the game a little bit, you'll actually recognize very distinct kind of design decisions we made around the battle frames.
I see your name generator going through Soda Seeker, Pygmy Wax, Crispy Bread, so...
I'm telling you, it's fantastic.
It's great.
Our UI programmer, John Sue, came in one day and was like, I added a name generator. He's like, oh yeah? And it's been, we haven't touched it since. It was perfect in first implementation.
No need to patch. All right. How long do the names have to be? Is there a limit? Or?
I'm not sure what that's set to right now. Go ahead and try it out.
Every reference that I do for a name is always a Dune name. So sometimes if a game's out and somebody takes a bunch of them, I have to open up the books and find obscure references.
We have some subtle references to Dune, so.
Oh, you just made me happier. Yeah.
We'll get to that in just a little bit.
Instead of, I hope you didn't pick up what Evan did, that's a little bit of a spoiler then. I hope you didn't pick up too much of Evan.
I was like, no, he's going to try to James Earl Jones that shit.
Or Morgan Freeman.
Shut up, you.
So, there's a good tip right there. Shoot him in the face.
That's it, right? Yep. Shoot him in the face.
One in doubt.
Okay, so here we're flying into New Eden, which is the last known remnant of mankind, in a region called Coral Forest. Arrow's talking to us. She's our handler. She looks out for us. She introduces us to what's going on to make sure that we don't get into too much trouble.
Let's see if we can find some work here.
Don't
worry. Once we get hooked into Sin, I'll scan the local feed. We'll find something.
So, for those listening who didn't have the opportunity to read what was on screen, an alien race has emerged from the melding, which has engulfed the planet, and the race is called the Chosen. They're extremely aggressive towards humans. We don't know why, we don't know where they came from, but they are stopping at nothing to wipe us out, to kill us. And so we'll have a lot of interactions with the Chosen. And because of that, you will notice a heightened sense of heightened military presence here in a town that used to be a resort. But now there you'll see Accord Guards, which is the human army, and they're actually trying to protect the civilians.
I kind of love that. It's one of those setups. It's like, here, come to our resort. Oh, wait, you know what? Get away from everybody trying to kill you, especially the aliens.
And anyone seeking an unforgettable getaway.
So you've just been given a mission to actually go uplink with the SIN terminal. SIN stands for Shared Intelligence Network. It's a really important aspect of the game. It's what gives you access to information on where the enemies are, what the enemies are, military movement, chosen activity, missions on the world map, and so forth. You can really kind of think about this like a Wi-Fi network. You know, when you show up at a friend's house or you go to a hotel, whatever, one of the first things a lot of people do is they try to find a free Wi-Fi.
Yep.
And why? Why? Because you want to have access to the internet and access to information. And that's exactly what SIN is about. It's kind of the internet of the future. It's what gives you augmented reality information, so like waypoints out in the world, health bars over enemies, information about what the enemies are, your mini-map, and all the information that's on that goes through SIN. This is particularly important for PvP. You can actually hit F to spot enemies and add them to your radar so your allies can actually attack them.
See the green circuit back.
So if you mouse wheel back just a little bit, you'll see. So you see, this is the radius of your Wi-Fi network. It's your SIN. And you'll see that we have information about stuff that's going on. These are dynamic world events. So there's a chosen patrol down there that if we actually, if players don't go and attack the chosen patrols, they'll actually continue to expand. So over time, they're actually going to build up enough confidence to actually come and attack outposts and watchtowers. And
so the NPCs can take over the cities in essence, and then you have to defeat them to get the cities back if you don't pay attention to them.
Absolutely.
Copacabana won't have any.
Okay, so we can go ahead and close that.
Ratchet, we're on it. Thanks. Please hurry.
I apologize. I was talking over Ratchet. Ratchet's our engineering manager for town, and she actually told us that the water is not flowing. Water is extremely important for life.
Yes.
It's still important 200 years in the future as it is right now.
Yeah.
But it's more valuable because there are fewer supplies of fresh drinkable water. The water's not flowing from our moisture farm that we built north of town, so we're actually asked by Ratchet to go check out the valves. So let's go ahead and head down to the beach, and we'll see if the valves are turned off or if there's something going on and what we can do to help fix the problem.
So notice, as we train replacement tour guides, in the meantime, feel free to cautiously roam the sunny beach side on your own to discover the corner.
Can you say I like jump jets? I'm a fan of tribes, too.
No coincidence, our lead designer is Scott Youngblood, who is the lead designer in Tribes 1.
Oh, really?
So that's one of the influences for the jump jets in
Absolutely.
This game.
Absolutely. His first day of work, he's like, where the hell are the jet packs? Yes, sir, we'll get those in right now.
Well, I mean, if you're looking at this suit with his the boots that he's got on those suckers, yeah, I think he would need some kind of jumps, something to get him to go a little bit faster.
So we've just encountered some Aranas. These are creatures that we brought back from a previous voyage to Alpha Prime, and they've actually become a bit of a nuisance. They've actually started overrunning. They're multiplying. They live just fine here on Earth. And so you'll see these Arana layers all over the place. But the thing we care most about is hitting the water valve.
Look out!
What's up? That valve is venting badly. Hurry, see if you can shut it off.
Kill it! Kill it! No, Now, did you create like a curb stomp or melee for this setup?
We'll get to that.
Oh, damn. I asked too early.
Regarding melee, we had melee once, we had melee once upon a time. We took it out, but we're actually looking to add something back in. It's not going to be, it's more of a, like, I'm out of ammo and I need some backup kind of melee, and not a, I'm walking around with my knife and I'm gonna stab someone. Because we're an action game. We don't want people to be stealthing around, trying to sneak up on enemies. We want them to be moving around, high action, and so that's kind of our direction we're going to go with that.
You heard it here. No backstabbing, you sons of bitches.
So, is these random NPCs or these other players?
Those are other players. You're connected to our live production servers right now. So, we have players signing in from all over the world trying to play some Fireball.
Wow, nice. So, we have... Kill the...
So Ratchet's asking you to clear out some of the Iranians. They were getting caught up in the pipes. You know, they were trying to steal a water supply, basically. So if we can clear out some of these guys, we can help out the town by getting the water going again. You know, we are a high-action game, and you should already have seen that with jump jets and the movement and combat. All of our weapons and abilities are skill-based. The physics simulated, so you have one ability equipped right now. This is Crater. If you get a nice group of Iranas below you, it's a perfect time for you to hit one, and you actually do a somersault, slam down, and smash them all to bits. Very nice. So you took out three of them with no problem. It's a skill-based game. The higher you are, the higher your altitude, the more damage you'll do when you slam down. So if you can really time it right, jump off a high building or rock, maximize your altitude with your jump jets, and then crater on top of some unsuspecting enemies, it's party time. You feel great. But of course, the higher you are, the more time your enemies have to get away out of the way.
All right, so I still need some power.
It's your own cooldown right here, so that's
right, that's the cooldown for the power. It's not him.
Oh, that was awesome. It was like an airburst. That's one hell of a weapon you got there.
Look out! Sorry about that. There it is. So, we are a class-based shooter. Your class is defined by the equipment that you wear. Right now, we're rolling around in an assault battle frame, and you can really kind of think about your equipment as you would a racing car in a racing game, right? You can buy a new chassis, get a new chassis, and then trick it out to your heart's content. You can put better engine in, suspension, tires, whatever. You really can customize each of your battle frames to match your play style. So, if you're a big, you like to do lots of damage, you're fearless, you love to run into the middle of the mix and just smash people in the face, well then an assault's great for you, and you can actually set yourself up to have a better, you know, faster run speed and additional health and, you know, upgrade your crater so you actually do more damage with the crater. If you're more of an objective defender, you want to stand back and actually just keep the space clear from enemies, well maybe you're more about damage mitigation, health regeneration, and offensive spells, abilities, like shockwave or overcharge, which gives you increased damage potential for a short period of time.
Now, would that show up too on your silhouette when you get those upgrades? So somebody might see you coming and know what you have as a loadout?
Yeah, if you had afterburner, you'd see cufflinks on your feet, on your boots. You'd actually see a piece hanging off the back. And that's your afterburner. So each of our abilities will have special modules that appear on your suit. They're subtle. We don't want them to be too, you know, intrusive, but...
The veteran players will know what you're packing, at least.
You know what you're looking at, you'll see what abilities they're running around with.
Oh, I really chewed this up. The MPU is ruined. I'm gonna need some silicon friends to make a new one.
Now, with this free play setup, how many hours of play are we looking at here? Because it seems like, as of right now, it looks like it's endless amount of hours of play here, because you're gonna be able to go mission after mission of what you guys feed into the system.
Yeah, it really is endless hours of fun. I mean, that's what we're targeting. We're building a game that will live on forever and ever. We'll be continuing to grow the game as well for as long as players are coming to play. You know, we've actually planned out 4.5 to 5 years of content that we're really excited about, building out new zones, new regions, new features. And really, you know, the way the game is built, we have a lot of, there's a lot of experiences that you will play indefinitely, right? Like, how can you put an hour cap on PvP? We have an unlimited amount of PvP, of course. And the same with the open world, you'll always have things that you're working towards as far as collecting resources, advancing your equipment, advancing your army technology, working at things like that down the road. Sorry, this is a sonic detonator that was just given to you.
Yeah.
So if you hit four, you'll actually be able to collect some resources. This is teaching the player the most basic form of resource collection. You know, basically after you've done this, you'll be given the nano template that allows you to build your own sonic detonators. And then anytime you're out in the world and you see a chunk of rock that looks valuable, it probably is, you can call down a sonic detonator and blow it up.
So you're not just doing hunter-gathering, you're actually kicking ass, taking names while getting resources while you need to.
Absolutely.
I mean, yeah, the graphics are amazing on this setup. Now, who did you have for lead design on that?
Well, so, I mean, we have an incredible team of artists, and it's really a team effort. We have a lot of artists that worked on the style. We kind of refer to this as our manga style. We really wanted to have, you know, this our own flavor, our own signature style. So if anyone saw the game, we really wanted to be clear that, hey, this is Firefall, right? And so you'll see kind of the outlines on the character and characters in a lot of kind of open surfaces, as well as some of the kind of real kind of chiseled looks and the, you know, character faces and then some of the equipment. The world is more photorealistic, but it's still fantastical. It still has lush colors and crazy, and you know, plants and creatures. We spent a long time on our engine to really, you know, have the technology to support the art style and the content that we really want, while also being able to run on a wide range of computers.
I definitely have to say that this is, you know, definitely authentic and very unique for the style, you know, the cartoon graphics of the player, but yet the realism of the background. I mean, the water graphics look very, very amazing. Those, I mean, you can see the ripple effects into them. You got the trees with a lot of, and you got those goddamn alien crab things coming after you again. But yeah,
nicely executed, Creator. Nicely done.
Way to go, Tag. Way to go, Tag. Hey, look, another egg. Kill it. Kill it.
I'm trying to get these things, resources.
But I don't know if you noticed this yet or not. I didn't mention it earlier, but we actually have first and third person perspective. So if you want, you can hit the middle mouse button to switch to first person.
All right.
I'm in love with that.
Oh, by the way.
Yeah, we forgot to mention something, that third person to first person.
Fans will love it too.
We had much internal discussion and debate on whether we were first person shooter or third person. Finally, we're like, why have one when we can have both?
See, now that was the thing with me, is I love to play Star Wars Battlefront 2 just because of that aspect, where you were able to switch back and forth between first and third person. So when you were Jedi mode, you could get the third person, whip around, kick people's asses, and then when you were a stormtrooper or whatever the hell else you were, you could go first person. That is another beautiful add to this game. I like that.
Have you seen your all-fire mode, scattershot?
Got one. Yep.
Again, you can customize all your equipment. So right now you have a scattershot module installed on your plasma cannon. What that does is it takes the plasma and it shreds it into 9 shots. It's 9 smaller pellets. It really functions a lot like a shotgun. It's great for close range. It's also worth noting that the primary fire, it's like an energy-based rocket, and so it does splash damage. If you shoot too close to yourself, you will hurt yourself. And it's really embarrassing when you commit suicide with a plasma cannon, so I think you need to pay attention to that.
Where I fire.
So scatter shots great when you're close range, but you could instead put a plasma nova alt-fire onto your gun. Plasma nova actually charges up all 4 of your rounds that are in your gun and does a massive blast. It's a slow-moving projectile that on impact explodes, doing mega damage to everyone in an area. You can also equally change to something like the triple shot. Triple shot shreds up the plasma into 3 pellets, 3 rounds, and they bounce. So if you're a super skilled player, you can actually, in PvP, hide around the corner and be killing people out of sight.
They'd be wondering about, where the hell are those rounds coming from?
All right, so we're heading back to town. It looks like we've collected enough silicate for what Ratchet needed us to do. We're trying to fix the water system. We're trying to get the aqueduct running again so that we can get fresh water to our people. I mean, these are like basic necessities that the world no longer has because of the devastation of our recent events.
I saw this. You got wings with these jump points, I think it was.
Hold down space. Fast pass back to town.
Nice.
I like that because it almost resembles a squirrel suit setup.
A what?
The squirrel suit setup for when you're doing like parachuting now.
Yeah.
But that one came out of the pack. That's pretty sweet.
Yeah, we've had a lot of fun with that. So
right,
this is now Ratchet's introducing you to manufacturing, which is our crafting system.
Yeah.
We use a molecular printer that actually takes a schematic. We call them nanoprints.
Yep.
You feed the schematic into the manufacturing terminal along with the necessary resources, and you create cool stuff. So go ahead and click here. And now you have a slot, and you can actually take the MPU, research in, and you'll learn how to manufacture MPUs as well as manufacture one for now.
So there's a fully fledged crafting system in this game, so you can craft your own items and armor
absolutely.
And the like?
Absolutely. Nice. And you'll be able to, in your army, in your army tech tree, you'll actually be able to improve your crafting capabilities, your manufacturing capabilities, improve how much time it takes to manufacture things and so forth.
Okay.
But now that's done, let's go ahead and grab it. You now know a little bit about crafting, nano templates.
And so I can take this with me.
Yeah, I'll take it with you.
Now, does this also go into like a market-based setup as well with these computer systems that you go to, like, or nodes, basically? Or do they have like a market setup, or is it just research?
And the like, is there a trade system?
We don't currently have trading in, but it's something we absolutely are going to do in the short term, in the near term. Next couple months, we'll have trading. And, you know, we really are building a social game. We want this to be very social, and part of that is giving people opportunities to interact with each other and to help each other out and to have that economy, that trade. And so we've talked a lot about, you know, building also an auction house or a clearing house for resource trading. We haven't built it yet. That's coming down the road, but that's certainly on our roadmap.
So the way I see it is you want to basically create a game that's like Sims, but with guns.
You know, I have never once thought that, but...
yes!
I coined it. Yes!
You mean by Sims, as in I can wall my people in and they'll starve to death?
Force them not to go to the bathroom when they have to go pee and make them piss themselves.
So just take a moment and look, check out our world. I mean, this it's a massive open world. Look over here, we can actually... head up into the jungles if you want and go far beyond, right? And even here you see an additional kind of cliff way up above. That's an entirely different zone. You'll see the melding here, and that's kind of encompassing the world for us right now.
Yep.
Players will gain access to technology that lets you actually repel the melding. And if everyone pulls together and unites as a community, as people on the server, they'll be able to build a mega repulsor that will actually push back the melding, exposing an entirely new zone.
So the game is based on, you know, taking back the world that has now been ruined from that big accident. So that seems like a really awesome story behind that, because, believe me, you've got endless possibilities, because the world is... this world looks just absolutely huge, especially from what we're seeing right now.
And we're just getting warmed up. This is just the beginning.
So is there going to be a competitive aspect, too, or is this...
Oh, absolutely. And you know, we haven't really talked about that at all. I mean, there's so much we could talk about. We could kind of hang out here all day. But we're really focused on building a very competitive esports mode for the game. So you can actually queue and jump into one of our multiplayer PvP maps. We've really been trying to design the whole experience to be very competitive. We have a spectator mode. We'll be adding tournaments and leagues. So you and your army will be able to join into a league and participate in a season to go head-to-head with other armies.
Oh, that's awesome.
How did it taste, man?
It's an amazing game. It really is. You guys did an amazing job on this.
Well, thank you very much, guys. We really appreciate your support. You know, if you all want to get into the beta, just log in here, and you're automatically in the beta. You can go home and play tonight. And if you do play, we'd love to hear from you. Please, you know, let us know. Let us know what you like, what you don't like. You know, how to make the game better.
It was good to meet you.
Thank you so much.
Thanks.
And for your listeners, please join us on FirefallTheGame.com. You can sign up for a community, get involved. The people that are really active in our community will get beta invites. So please join us and help make this stronger. Thanks.